This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
On this very special edition of the Mike Wise Show, it's part two of our four-part series on the North Carolina basketball family, created by the late great coach and mentor, Dean Smith. We welcome back our panel of Tar Heel greats who represent three decades of UNC basketball, and they're coming right up. But since Coach Smith always wanted everyone to be a gentleman, Darlene, please go first.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Thanks, Darlene. George Karl was a sophomore on Coach Smith's first championship team, the 1971 NIT championship team, when the NIT meant more than it does today. George was first team All-ACC in 1973. Matt Doherty started on Coach Smith's first NCAA title team in 1982 alongside teammates Sam Perkins, James Worthy, and, oh yes, a guy named Michael Jordan. George Lynch led the Tar Heels to the 1993 national title, Coach Smith's second and final national championship team. Before the guys begin their discussion with my producer and co-host Bruce Bernstein, here's Brad Doherty, who was at UNC from 1983 to 86, talking about the extended Tar Heel family.
When you look at the basketball side of the way he impacted the game, you're just talking about a guy. It's so much more than how many games you win. And that's why when you look back through his tenure at North Carolina, there's a huge, it's not a thread, it's a cord. It's fun. I was in Santa Monica last week, and I was getting ready to walk into a restaurant, and I heard somebody yelling my name. It was a crowd, and I was just trying to turn in. I wasn't paying attention. And then all of a sudden, somebody grabs my shoulder, and it was King Rice and Rick Fox, who are younger than I am. Yeah. But they're like my brothers. And we hugged each other, and it was just like I was so happy to see them. And if I see Billy Cunningham, who's much older than I am, mm-hmm. I'm so happy to see him. Same thing if I'm talking to Michael Jordan or if I'm talking to Sam Perkins or James Worthy or if I'm talking to Ralph Meekins, who was the manager on some of our teams, or David Hart. It's like Coach Smith created this huge family of guys and gals who were managers, and we're all linked through him.
All right, let's start with Matt Doherty, no blood relation to Brad, except for the Carolina blue blood running through your veins. You and Brad were teammates for two seasons. Matt, let's start with you. Tell us about the family and how important it is to you and how you first started feeling like a family there.
It's real to this day. I'm 59 years old. I finished playing there in 84. When I was being recruited, they had players from Long Island, Mitch Kupchak, Chris Brust, Jimmy Black was from New York City. And I remember after my first year, I think it was, Mitch had a camp on Long Island at CW Post, which was about 20 minutes from my house. And I worked at his camp. And Mitch came to my house after camp to have dinner with my family. We grilled burgers. We joked, Mitch went to Burger King or McDonald's before he came to my house, had like three Big Macs because he has a big appetite and didn't want to, he had a pregame before the game. So he wouldn't eat us out of house and home. But my relationship with Mitch Kupchak is probably as tight as it is with Michael Jordan and Jimmy Braddock and Buzz Peterson, guys I played with, Michael Corn. One of my favorite players of all time, and one of the reasons I fell in love with North Carolina. George Lynch. George and I do a podcast together. I called the basketball office yesterday, called Sean May, who I recruited and coached at North Carolina. There's a player that was, you know, having some problems, and I called for him, that player who I never even met. The Carolina family's real, and I think it creates a lot of jealousy with a lot of other teams because nobody's got it like we've got it.
George Lynch, Duke tried to copy this, didn't they? But it hasn't really, it's not quite the same with those Dukies, is it?
No, not at all. When you sent that brotherhood message earlier, it kind of took me back to, you know, I was in Chapel Hill maybe a couple years ago, and we were sitting around, and a couple other guys like Coach Doherty said, I'd never played with, I knew him, and I, you know, knew him just by, you know, being a part of the family. You know, the conversation came up, oh, Duke is doing this brotherhood thing, and it kind of embedded in me that the family that we started years ago, like Coach Doherty and Coach Carr said back in the 60s, being a part of the family and other teams want to duplicate us by calling themselves the brotherhood and the gang or whatever words they use. I think we are truly a family. And it started back when you first came on campus as a high school senior or junior. And Coach Smith said, look, these are the guys that's going to take you out. They're going to recruit you. And if they like you enough to bring you a part of the family, then we will have you as a team. And he was true about it. Yeah, I remember coming in as a high school senior, highly recruited, like Coach Doherty said. Everybody's McDonald's All-Americans. King Rice, Rick Fox, Kevin Madden took me around. And they kept mentioning, this is a family, you know. Luckily enough, they liked me enough that they wanted me to be a part of the family. And then I continued to remember me being a junior and senior, taking the freshmen out in high school season. That's how we recruited them on being a part of the family.
Coach Carl, you're the older brother in this version of the family in this show here. What does the UNC family mean to you? And can it, it's often copied, but never really duplicated, right?
I don't think we're giving enough service. I mean, Matt and George are telling good stories, but it's unbelievable. The connection and loyalty and love for a university because of a man that taught us about how to grow up and how to be a man. The stories are all over the place. I mean, as I said, I go back to the 1957 championship team. They think I'm the greatest guy in the world. And then, you know, if you see a player, I mean, from North Carolina, we always exchange at least a conversation, but usually a long conversation. There is a connection, a unity, a loyalty, and a dedication to whatever we can do to continue the legacy of Coach Smith. And I'll also say, I think Coach Guthridge and Coach Williams, I mean, the all three of them are true Tar Heel coaches that we love and we will do anything for. Anything. The loyalty is unbelievable. The friendships are unbelievable. The commitment to one another is unbelievable. I mean, Coach Smith called me up, I think, three or four times. And I think everybody knows I'm somewhat of a liberal guy. And he wanted me to write a check for some Republican North Carolina guys that played in 1957 or 58. And, you know, I never said no. I always wrote the check. I mean, if he wanted me to help a guy out that was a Tar Heel, we're going to do it. And the stories are just legendary. I think Coach Williams and Coach Guthridge did a great job of bringing us all back there in some way or some manner we're going to have the Doug Moe Golf Invitation for the last time this year that Coach Smith started and Coach Brown started probably 30 years ago. And we go to Pinehurst every summer, and about 10 to 15 of us mostly Carolina guys, but also some NBA guys. And we get together and we play golf. And Coach Smith used to be the leader of that. Coach Guthridge used to be the leader of that. I remember Coach Guthridge and Coach Smith getting into fights about, you know, where we should tee off from, you know, and getting into fights about the length of the leather on your putter to get for a gimme. I mean, I loved it because Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge don't look, they act like they're not competitive, but to be honest with you, they're competitive SOBs to a big time level. And they didn't, you couldn't play for Coach Smith if you weren't competitive.
George Karl described how he respected Coach Smith so much that he made a donation to someone Coach recommended, even when it might have gone against some of his own beliefs. But Coach Karl wasn't the only one who showed such devotion to Coach Smith. Here's former Tar Heel player and Hall of Fame coach Larry Brown with a similar story of respect and loyalty. At the time, Brown was a young head coach running the Denver Nuggets, getting ready for his second NBA season and preparing for the 1977 NBA draft. Coach Brown picks up the story from here.
2 minutes before the draft, Coach called me up and told me Tommy Lagarde failed his physical and New Jersey was taking Bernard King. And he said, "You're taking Tommy Lagarde," and hung up. I'm afraid to tell my owners that and to call Shear. And I found out that Tommy Lagarde had flunked because he had a bad knee. Well, the draft went on and New Jersey, sure enough, took Bernard. Then 5, 6, 7 went. And all of a sudden, we're going to either take Tree Rollins or Bernard King and everybody's idea. And you only have 5 minutes in the draft. Everybody's dying to know who I'm going to tell them to take. And you got to tell the guy in Denver to call New York and tell him you pick. So the 8th pick went and both of them were still there. And now everybody's going crazy. What are you going to do, Larry? You know, so I whispered into the guy's ear, the Denver Nuggets were the 9th pick and take Tommy Lagarde. Well, when everybody heard it, they went crazy. Tommy Lagarde, and by that time, it had gotten around that he had flunked the physical. And people weren't real excited about me. We flew him in. He flunked our physical. And when we signed him, there was an exception made that if he hurt that knee, we didn't have to pay him. But if we traded him, his full contract was going to be guaranteed. So we were playing golf that summer. Oh, by the way, we traded him. Lenny Wilkins wanted to get rid of a guy, and he knew about Tommy and wanted Tommy, even though Tommy could play maybe one game and maybe have to sit out a game. So I'm playing golf with Coach that summer, and I said, "Coach, why did you make me take Tommy? You knew he couldn't play. You knew he was hurt." And he said, "Larry, I knew you'd be all right." And that was the kind of person he was. And if you look back on my career, I drafted everybody from Carolina. Anybody told me to, no matter what. Matter of fact, we had the 60th pick, which is the last pick in one draft. And I was going to take Scott Williams, and he called me and said, "Don't you dare take Scott Williams at 60. I said, "Coach, we had him down in the top 20 in the draft." He said, "Well, if you take him, he's stuck with you. Otherwise, now he's got 29 other teams that can go after him." And that was when you didn't have to guarantee a second-round contract. So right. He ended up going to Chicago, getting a bonus, and winning about 3 championships with Michael Jordan.
Can you imagine such a thing happening in today's NBA? Please join us next week on the Mike Wise Show as we discuss how Coach Smith respected every player's beliefs and encouraged them to follow their consciences, but also was demanding both on the court and in the classroom. Thanks to our guests, George Lynch, Matt Doherty, and George Karl. Thanks also to our very talented editor, Kristen Woolley. If you're enjoying this series, we featured some selected video segments from our Carolina panelists on the Pure Hoops Media YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search Pure Hoops Media. Along with my producer and co-host, Bruce Bernstein, I'm Mike Wise, and we'll see you next week.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.